we're going to be doing some artwork, and I know some of us are, and I like doing artwork. You might be able to get some pen and some coloured pencils and things, and there's just some ideas. There's that angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah at that in that temple thing where they were burning some incense. He was burning some incense, and then this angel appears from heaven, boom, and Zechariah's like. So that, I like that picture because I always like angels. I'm a massive angel fan. So the thought of an angel just appearing, and what does an angel look like, do you think? Like big feathered wings, maybe? Like that. I always like to think of big feathered wings. I like that. But you might have an idea in your head. Was the angel like flying in the air or standing on the ground? Or think about it. You can draw it. It's always good. And then there's also that thing that because Zechariah didn't believe the words from God, he wasn't allowed to speak for like 9 months at least. But it's like he was bursting with, by the end, he was bursting with things to say. And that's a nice little picture that there's someone he can't speak, but he ends up like, oh, there's so much I want to say, but he can't. Have you ever felt like that? Where you have to be quiet, but there's something you want to say. You're like, I want to say this. Gotta be quiet. That's a nice picture. Or there's that little word at the end of Zechariah's speech when he is able to burst out and start talking again. And at the end of what he says, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness. And that was that lovely image of the dawn is just the break. Have you ever been up early and watched the sun rise? And it's all dark, and then suddenly starts to come light. And that's that image that Zechariah ends with. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those in sitting darkness and in shadows of death. That's a nice image. You might go for that. But whatever you want to do, you can go for it. Or you can just take some little notes on a paper, whatever. So let's get into it. Luke 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And the question really is, do we really believe the words of God? Do we really believe what God has to say? Does it matter whether we do or not? Does he care? How seriously does the living God take it if we don't believe his promises, what he says to us? Because by contrast, like, what do we feel if someone doesn't believe us? You know, if we're saying, oh, so, no, I don't believe you. We're like, what? Like, particularly if it's someone we care about, they say, no, I just don't believe you. I don't trust you. Well, oh, that feels really bad. That's a massive insult, isn't it? If a person just, particularly if it's someone we care about, says, no, I don't trust you. I don't believe a word you say. Or I don't believe this. But you say, no, but look, you've got to believe this that I'm telling you because it's so important. No, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That's a huge insult that hits really hard because it's our character that's on the line there. It's like they don't take us seriously. They don't think much of us because they don't believe. Ah, so we feel that. The living God feels that. That's the important thing to note in this story. It hurts him if we don't believe it. If he makes a promise to us and says, this is what I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't think he can deliver. That hurts him. And it takes serious. And the living God has many, many promises in the Bible. All of them find their answer in Jesus, though. That's the big thing. Like, he makes all these promises, and they sound as if the promises about lots of different things. But when you really understand them, it turns out, in the end, they're really all just about Jesus. For example, like here's one, like, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a great promise. That's really saying, you've got to call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. Or, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Yeah, that's the same word. It's like that too. When we turn to Jesus in our weakness and exhaustion and things like that, he won't let us down. He won't let us down. It's all that sort of thing. So all these promises are like, don't be afraid. Why not? I'm with you. Oh, well, if you're with me, I don't need to be afraid. See, all these promises, they really, as Paul puts it, they find a yes and all men in Jesus. So he makes all these promises and he expects us to take them seriously and believe that. And the Bible's full of all these promises. And there's Jesus full of the Spirit without limit, and he can deliver. So it really matters if we don't take his words seriously. He does take it personally and seriously. So all this is relevant to this story we've read today about this Christmas story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. Now, Zechariah, an elderly priest, a Levite who served at the temple. His wife's also a Levite, but she is a little bit more of like an aristocrat, really, because it says she is directly descended from Aaron. So that means her child could be the high priest. But she hasn't got any children. So, like, Zechariah's kind of married out of his league a little bit. He's married this woman who's like, yeah, I could produce the high priest. But Zechariah, he's done well, he's married well, but they haven't got any children because Elizabeth hasn't been able to have a child. And it says very elderly. When we, you know, you think Abraham and Sarah, 90s, they were in their 90s and sort of thing. So they may have been in their 90s, Zechariah and Elizabeth. No child, though. So she may have, when she was young, thought, I might be given to the high priest. No child. And now, way past the fertile years, it's totally, you know, it's a human point of view, impossible, unimaginable, not serious. Well, that's the situation, that's who they are. Now, what they used to do is, if you were a Levite, and so Zechariah's, what they would do, because the Levites were like support staff at the temple. They did lots of the jobs. Like in the way back in time of Moses, they were the one who would carry around all the kit when they were wandering in the desert. The Levites were support to the high priest. So Zechariah is only ever going to be, he could be that, he could be part of that. So what they do is when his kind of tribal or clan were, right, you lot can come and do a month serving at the temple and do the support work. Then they randomly chose who got to go in, not to the innermost room, the heaven room, because only the high priest could do that. But they got to go into that first room, go to the incense burner and burn incense. So, and he gets chosen. It's like lottery ticket. And he gets to go in. So he gets to go in and burn incense inside the like holy space. Serious business, though, because even though only the high priest could go through the curtain into the inner room, he's going to go right up to the curtain because the incense burner's right against the curtain. So he'd be only a matter of a few feet away from the Ark of the Covenant behind the curtain. So it's really serious. Scary, really. And if we read that story carefully, incense represents prayers all the way through the Bible, the prayers of church people. And so it looks as if you notice, if you've got your Bible and you look at Luke chapter 1 verse 10, it looks as if when the incense was being burned, people would gather for a big prayer meeting. Can you see that in Luke 1 verse 10? Massive crowd of people gathered to pray. So it's as if when they burn the incense that symbolizes prayer going to God, we'll have a big prayer meeting every time that happens. As if like prayers are going to get through better now because the incense is being burned that symbolizes prayers going up. Let's have a big prayer meeting whenever that happens. So they were doing it. Everyone outside praying. He goes in doing that. And so while they were all praying and the incense was burning, an angel came from God himself to speak to Zechariah. It's John. Now, so that's not just no ordinary, any angel's amazing, but this one is like really serious angel, this one. It's like Gabriel and who knows the name of the of another archangel. Anyone can think of the names of an angel in the Bible. There's Gabriel and there's another one that we know the name of. Yeah. No one down at the back?
Do you know that?
Michael.
It is, it's Michael. Yeah. It's Michael. So we know Michael and we know Gabriel. And so this is Gabriel. Now, we know another job that Gabriel's done at this time. Gabriel had to go to speak to some other mum. Who was that?
Mary.
That's right. Mary. So Gabriel's, this has been a busy period for Gabriel. So this time Gabriel's like, great, go talk to Zechariah. So, and Gabriel, it says, I've come from the very presence of God. Like, and Gabriel's one of those angels that hangs out right next to the throne. Okay. So this isn't just some little angel who does little jobs. This is, you know, straight from the throne. Serious. It was utterly terrifying to Zechariah. Because whatever angels are like, they're very scary. So verse 12, Zechariah's like, oh. But then Gabriel goes, don't worry, it's all good. Got good news. And it is good news. So Gabriel told him, maybe because the incense was burning and their prayer was especially heard and your prayers got through, you're going to have, Elizabeth's going to have a boy. And then you think, oh, I think he's going to be the high priest. Huh? And you are to call this special son John. Good name. Now, Gabriel has special instructions for how John was to be raised. And you'll notice it's got that stuff about him. Don't let him have any alcohol at any time, no strong spirits, nothing like that. Why is that? Well, it's really because it means he's going to be what is called a Nazarite, like a super specially dedicated person. Probably couldn't cut his hair ever as well. That's kind of part of it. But Gabriel didn't need to spell it all out because Gabriel's like, you know the Bible. Do the Nazarite stuff. Yeah. So he was to be a Nazarite. Like, and Jesus would be one too. That's why the town of Nazareth, where Jesus was born, is a town of people who just do that stuff. So John the Baptist, he's got to be absolutely dedicated to God, and there's rules for that. Now, so Gabriel thinks, this is brilliant, I've just brought this straight from God's throne. Amazingly good news. You've got to believe it. Isn't that great? And what's also nice about it is that what Gabriel says is he's going to do this special boy. Because he explains, like, in verse 17 of Luke 1, he is going to be like Elijah. And he's going to sort out people out. And he's going to get parents and children back together with right hearts. Now, at first you think, yeah, all right, whatever. Nah, wait, look at the last two verses of the Old Testament. The whole of the Old Testament. All right? It's on page 962. The last two verses of the whole Old Testament. Huh? 962, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land. Okay? Now, let's just nip back, see what the angel Gabriel says about this child. Yeah? Says, oh, turn the page. The angel Gabriel said, this special kid will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. It's the same thing. It's that promise that the whole Old Testament ends with this thing. The Lord's promised this. The Elijah person's going to come and sort out this. And then Gabriel's like, it's happening right now. The Elijah guy is about to be born. It's going to be your kid. He's going to get ready for the Lord to come. Amazing. And then Malachi 3:1 has one about, look, I'm going to send this messenger to prepare the way for the Lord. There's loads. The Old Testament's like, the next big thing you're going to hear about is this messenger being born. And then Gabriel's like, here he is. So there's a lot of promises behind what Gabriel is saying. Like, all these Old Testament things are like behind this. God's made these promises. It's about this. It's really all about Jesus, and that this is this. Like, the next big thing is your kid's going to be born, and then the Lord's coming. Bam! And this is like, it's not as if this is just some weird thing out of nowhere. This is what the whole of the Old Testament, the Lord's been talking about this for a long time. But, Zechariah, he's not up for it. He don't believe it. He doesn't believe it. Now, when Mary gets told the message from Gabriel, she says, how can that be? Because I've not known a man. She's asking in wonderment, obviously. She's like, amazing. How's that going to work? Of course it's going to work. But how's it going to work? Because, I'm not. How am I going to be pregnant? So she's all excited. That's her question. Zechariah goes, his is a cynical question. Because Gabriel, to Mary's like, oh no, don't worry about that, this is what's going to happen. Like, Gabriel provides further explanation because she's asking in faith, in trust, excitement. Zechariah isn't. He's like, nah, how can that be? That can't happen. That's not possible. I don't believe it. That's the nature of his thing. I don't believe that. That can't happen. It's like Sarah. You remember when she had a similar thing? The Lord was like, oh, Sarah's going to have a kid, going back like to Abraham times, way at the beginning. And she just laughed at it. She's like, that's just ridiculous. It can't happen. And I was like, Sarah's laughing. She goes, no, I didn't. And he goes, yeah, you did. Now, Zechariah's like quite cynical. He's like, can't happen. And it's the reason that unbelief and cynicism has to be taken seriously. When Sarah was unbelieving and cynical, look at what happened. Mess came from that with Hagar and all the mess that came because she was unbelieving and cynical. And so she was like, okay, that can't happen, what the Lord said. So I'll find a way to make it happen that's humanly possible. And that was a lot of trouble. So when Zechariah's got in trouble for being unbelieving and cynical. Really bad things happen when we're unbelieving and cynical. It destroys us. And so, Zechariah didn't trust the words of God. And so his words were going to be taken away. Huh. You don't trust God's words. Well, you can't have any words then, Zechariah. Can't speak. It's like, oh, how does that feel? If your words are taken from you and not taken seriously, well, you can't have any. And then the angel goes, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now you will be silent and unable to speak until the day this does come to pass, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled at the proper time. And it really strikes us, doesn't it, how seriously God's words are. And when he gives us something like that, really brings home to us a promise. And says, I'm giving you this promise. If we're like, no, I don't believe that. It's serious. And he takes it seriously. And may say, okay, right. I don't know whether he's saying you can't say anything for the next year or something. But whatever he does, because he never lies. He never lies. There's no reason for us to doubt him. He never lies. He never lets us down. It's not as if, well, you've always let me down before. He's never let us down. So why would we be? He swears by his own life and name to help us to take his promises seriously. And how we treat these words matter. And I just found recently I've been reading like a lot of the Bible and just feeling the impact of listening to his words a lot. And it's like, oh, so refreshing, so like, wow, yeah. And when you read lots of the Bible like that, you suddenly think, he can do anything. He does do anything. He does impossible things for breakfast. So I believe it. When he says that, I believe it because I've been listening to a lot of his words. But if I don't listen to him, I sort of in the end think, nah, I don't know. He can, you know. Well, we'll see. We'll see. That sort of thing. It makes a massive difference whether we listen to his words and have it listen to the whole of what he says and like, oh, yeah, of course he can do it. Rather than, well, yeah, we'll see. Or even, I don't think so. So the living God has he stored up in Jesus all his riches and wisdom and knowledge and power. He's like, just go to him and you'll find what you're looking for. Wisdom and knowledge and power and peace. And do we believe that? Is Jesus the great center and soul of this month, this Christmas time? Well, Zechariah didn't trust the words of God, so his words were taken away. And so it remained for the whole pregnancy. And then when the baby was born, and John did do what Gabriel, now he's like sorting himself out. Now he did do what Gabriel told him to do, and he called him John. And as soon as he'd done that, and like demonstrated that he was taking God's word seriously and listening to what he'd been told, promises, and then he goes, okay, no, his name is John. Like, we didn't say that, he wrote it on his, like, tablet or something. And that act of obedience and trust unlocked his words again, and then they burst out, these words that he's been storing up. And he begins praising God straight away, verse 64, and filled with the Spirit, Zechariah is now able to speak. And what he says is 9 months or more, 10 months, whatever, of silence had made him think very deeply. He'd been thinking very deeply about the words and promises of God. And it just explodes out of him. And his special song from Luke 1, 68-79, it's not really about his own newborn son at all. He's got his newborn son. You'd think he'd be so excited because this is John the Baptist. And we're like, John the Baptist, wow! And let's also think, he could have been the high priest. He could have been the high priest. But of course, John ends up taking a path that wasn't going to, those doors weren't going to be open to him. They didn't want John the Baptist there. But he could have been. But you see, Zechariah actually hardly says a single thing about his newborn son. Why? Who's he talking about all the time? Jesus. Jesus. And he's in his mind, he's thought about all the promises of the Old Testament from Genesis through to Malachi. And he's like, they're all true. And God is delivering them all now because Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. That's what he says. Because the promises to David, verse 69. The promises through the prophets, verse 70 and 71. The covenant with Abraham long ago, verse 73. Look at that. He's just doing like anything, Moses, the prophets, the kings, all the big divisions of the Old Testament. He's like, yeah, that, all those promises are coming true because Jesus is about to be born. That's what he's like explodes with. Isn't it great? Zechariah is more excited about the baby that Mary was having rather than the baby that's just been born to Elizabeth. And they're in the 90s. You just think this would be by far the most amazing thing ever. They're in the 90s, say, and having a kid. And yet he's actually more excited about this young woman, Mary, having a child. And it because he gets it. What he does say about John is in there, verse 76 to 77. You, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord, and you'll tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And that's interesting because people are, well, I need salvation, meaning I need health or wealth or status or better friends. And that's the salvation I'm looking for. And John's like, no, John will tell you how to find actual salvation through forgiveness of sins. It's a very different understanding of rescue and salvation that John would tell people about. how to really sort them, what they really needed, in other words. So Zechariah's kind of been through a pregnancy. While Elizabeth was pregnant with John, he's pregnant with the Word of God sort of getting growing inside him. And then it's like massive like statement about God's promises are brilliant. And Gabe was like, that's what I told you. You didn't should have listened to me 10 months ago. But now he's learned it. It's like God's promises are brilliant. He'd learned and he ends with those lovely words. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those in darkness and in the shadow of death. So where are we today? Do we believe that Jesus is this morning light from heaven that gives light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death? And the whole Bible just teaches this simple, it's all about that. Isn't it interesting that when Zechariah gets it, he says the whole Bible is about this Jesus coming to bring light to those who sit in darkness. The whole Bible's about this. I get it. Do we get it? Do we get it? And whatever darkness and shadow we face today, do we believe that Jesus can sort it out and bring light? Because we might say, no, you don't understand. My situation's too difficult. There's no way to sort this out. It's too messed up. It goes back too far. It's too deeply rooted. You can't sort it. No. That's Zechariah's attitude. He's like, no, you can't. You can't have a baby. Elizabeth can't. It's impossible. And I was like, hey, if I've said something, take me seriously. And it's easy for us to do the same in our situations. Like, no, you see, you don't understand. It's just too complicated or whatever. I don't think you can't really. He's like, hey, listen. I've promised. I've given everything into Jesus. Believe me. Trust me. Jesus really is morning light from heaven and can break into any darkness and dispel any shadows. Every promise in the Bible is aimed at this truth. It matters. This Christmas can be the greatest Christmas we've ever known. Better even than the best one we can think of. If we invest everything into Jesus, I'm just going to trust him completely. And I'm just going to spend this, say, 3 weeks. I'm just going to listen to the words of God and these promises of God. I'm going to open myself up to them and, like, see if I can do what Zechariah had done and dive into all these promises and the story and just say, I want to know. I want to trust. Could be the greatest Christmas we've ever had. What if we were to take this word of God, all these promises of God, down into our hearts and minds and say, I want this. I want Jesus. I want that. What if we really believe that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus? And therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the majesty, all the strength, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.